Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, and today we're going to be talking about a novel therapy for osteoporosis, a monoclonal antibody, romosozumab. Bisphosphonates have been the mainstay of therapy for patients with osteoporosis or osteopenia for nearly two decades now, but concerns about their safety and long-term efficacy have emerged in recent years. Moreover, less than 50% of patients who are prescribed a bisphosphonate are still taking it after a year, so adherence with therapy is also a major problem. Obviously, new therapies are needed. But is romosozumab the answer? The active controlled fracture study in postmenopausal women with osteoporosis at high risk, better known as the ARCH study, was recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine in September 2017. Joining me today to talk about the ARCH study are Yvonne Lee and Joyce Lee from the National University of Singapore. Yvonne Lee is a PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy practice resident and also a senior clinical pharmacist with the National Healthcare Group Pharmacy. And Dr. Joyce Lee is an associate professor and the residency program director at the National University of Singapore. So Yvonne, Joyce, welcome to the iFormRx podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you for having us, Stuart.
So before we get started, I want you to imagine you're seeing BY, a 74-year-old Asian female in the primary care clinic today for a routine follow-up. And the patient states she's feeling great, she's maintaining a healthy weight, she's eating right, she walks 2 to 3 miles every day. And as you review her chart, you learn that BY has a history of a vertebral fracture with back pain about 3 years ago. And at that time, she had a central DEXA scan performed, and her T score was minus 2.7 at the spine and minus 2.1 at the hip. She was prescribed and took dolendronate for about 6 months. Now, currently, she's taking calcium supplementation and vitamin D with her evening meal. She also has a history of high blood pressure for which she takes hydrochlorothiazide, 12.5 milligrams daily, and her current weight is 103 pounds or 47 kilograms, and her BMI is 19.5. Her blood pressure today is 124 over 74, and she had a Chem7 drawn this morning, the results of which look pretty good. She has a blood glucose of 92, a BUN of 7, serum creatinine of 0.5, and her electrolytes are all within normal limits. So before we get started into the specifics of the ARCH study, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the things that are going through your mind as I read the case? What additional information might you want to collect and assess at this encounter? And are there any additional treatment options you'd be considering at this point?
Well, based on the presentation, BY appears to be a relatively healthy elderly female with a normal kidney function and a comorbidity of hypertension that is well controlled by hydrochlorothiazide. Her DEXA scan performed 3 years ago showed osteoporosis of the spine and osteopenia of the hip. She was prescribed with alendronate, which she only took for 6 months, and she has no updated T-score since. It would be good to find out why she only took alendronate for 6 months and what her current T-scores are. Since bisphosphonates are still very much of the first line, I would consider other drugs in the bisphosphonate class, and this can depend on patient preference, convenience, adherence to the dosing schedule, and costs. Injectables such as zoledronic acid or other non-bisphosphonates injectables such as denosumab, teriparatide can also be considered if BY has any unique circumstances that we are not aware of yet.
So Yvonne, in the commentary you wrote for iFormRx entitled Unbroken, is romosozumab better than alendronate for the fracture prone? You briefly mentioned the 2016 AACE-ACE clinical practice guidelines. Can you briefly tell us about the guidelines, what they recommend as the first-line treatment for most patients with osteoporosis? Is there one therapy that's actually considered better than another? And what are the potential safety concerns with bisphosphonates?
For most patients with high risk for fractures, the 2016 AACE-ACE clinical practice guidelines recommend the use of alendronate, resedronate, zoledronic acid, and denosumab as one of the first-line treatments. there are no head-to-head trials comparing one agent to another, and all four recommended drugs have evidence for broad-spectrum anti-fracture efficacy in terms of spine, hip, and non-vertebral fracture risk reduction. Potential safety concerns are osteonecrosis of the jaw and atypical fractures of the femur.
Now, having said that, the two adverse events are serious, but they are rare. They are more likely to occur in people who have been on long-term bisphosphonate therapy. Some of the more common problems which can affect patient adherence are bisphosphonate-induced heartburns or acid reflux. Now, this can be avoided if we can take the medications more appropriately, or we can choose to give the patients the IV forms of the bisphosphonate because the GI reflux is not going to be a problem with the IV forms. But the mild flu-like symptoms may potentially be a problem. But again, this can be alleviated by taking acetaminophen before and after the infusion.
So the results of the ARCH study suggest that romosozumab might be useful for the treatment of osteoporosis, and indeed it might be more effective than alendronate. But some concerns regarding the cardiovascular safety of this agent emerged during the study. So for those in our audience who haven't read the paper, can you give us a brief summary of the study design and its major findings?
The ARCH study was a phase 3 multicenter randomized double-blind superiority trial which recruited postmenopausal women with osteoporosis at high risk for fracture based on previous fracture history. Patients randomized to the control group took alendronate 70 mg orally every week for 24 months, while patients randomized to the intervention group started with romosozumab 210 mg administered subcutaneously once a month for 12 months, followed by alendronate 70 mg taken orally every week for another 12 months. The ARCH study found that over a 24-month period, the intervention group had a 48% lower risk of new vertebral fractures and 27% lower risk of clinical fracture. The gains in bone mineral density at all measured sites and time points from baseline were superior in the intervention group. The intervention group also had a 19% lower risk of non-vertebral fractures and 38% lower risk of hip fractures. Although incidences of adverse events such as back pain and nasopharyngitis, as well as serious adverse events such as osteonecrosis of the jaw and atypical femoral fractures were similar between both groups, the risk of cardiac ischemic events were higher in the intervention group.
Yvonne, tell us a little bit about what you believe to be the key strengths and limitations of the ARCH study. Are there any major sources of bias, confounders, or other threats to the internal validity of the study?
Well, the main strength of the ARCH study was the inclusion of an active comparator, alendronate, which is one of the first-line agents recommended for treatment of osteoporosis. It is also focused on patients with prior fractures. While there were no major bias or confounders in this study was not designed to evaluate the cardiovascular outcomes of romosozumab. As such, adverse reporting on the cardiovascular outcome should be confirmed since the baseline cardiovascular demographics were also not reported.
So in August of this past year, in 2017, the FDA rejected the approval application of romosozumab and asked for additional safety studies. What would you advise the developers of this drug to do? Would you recommend that they invest in additional clinical trial work? Or based on the findings from the ARCH study and other clinical trials, do you think romosozumab has the potential to be a real game changer for the treatment of osteoporosis? And what about the case of BY? If romosozumab was available in Singapore today, is this a treatment you'd actually consider for BY?
In terms of efficacy, I think that romosozumab is definitely a game changer in the treatment of osteoporosis, and the clinical outcomes are promising. However, given the cardiovascular safety concerns, it would be good if the developers can come up with warnings and guidelines to help the clinicians decide if romosozumab is the treatment of choice for their patients. This study was done in the white population, and keeping in mind that Singapore being a multiracial country, it would be worthwhile to wait for studies of romosozumab use in the Asian population to see if the efficacy and safety are similar as what's known so far. I feel that it will probably take some time for romosozumab to be made available in Singapore because the safety profile as well as the cost will be of concern. For BY, I feel that bisphosphonates should still be the first line since BY is an Asian and, as mentioned, more data is required. If frequency is an issue, perhaps she can consider other types of oral bisphosphonates, or if heartburn is an issue, maybe the IV form will do. Therefore, to consider romosozumab as one of the treatment options, I would want more safety data first.
So, Yvonne, Joyce, I want to thank you both for joining me today to discuss the use of romosozumab for the treatment of osteoporosis in patients who've had an osteoporosis-related fracture. And based on your comments, I think we all agree that this is a promising agent, but there are some deep concerns about the cardiovascular safety of this drug. So we wait to hear more from the manufacturer, and we expect that they will be moving forward with their application for approval in the United States, but time will tell. Well, tell us what you think. Only iFormerX members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormerX. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormerX, signing off.